Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. You say, 2 Kings, Pastor, are you going old school? I'm going old school. Amen? So there's a bunch of, how many know there's some awesome stories in the Old Testament? And a lot of times what we do is, when I was a kid, we went to Sunday school every single Sunday. And one of the things that they did specifically in Sunday school is they kind of focused on the Old Testament more. And so I learned all kinds of great stories from the Old Testament. But a lot of times, I think sometimes we think that everybody knows all these old stories in the Old Testament. And a lot of people don't. Or if we do know these stories, how many know it's good to brush up on these stories? So I'm going to read this, but do me a favor. Do me a huge favor. Stay connected. Okay, here's what the Bible says, and I'm gonna teach this to you before we get started. The Bible says when the word goes forth, that's when Satan comes. And let me tell you why he comes. Because he comes to distract you, because what he wants to do is he wants to slap down the word before it even gets into your ear. So how can he do that? He comes to distract. He comes to steal the word when it's sown, because what he would prefer is you don't even get the bullet. He knows the bullet you're going to use to shoot back at him and to further the kingdom of God. So what he wants to do is he wants to get you focused. What's he want? He wants to get you, distracted. And so what he'll do is he'll get you, well, what will he get you distracted? It doesn't make any difference. He'll be like, well, wow, I wonder if there's enough jelly when I get home in my, you know what I mean? Because you know how when the jelly gets low, and you, does somebody know what I'm talking, you're trying to get the jelly low, and you're thinking, man, I want a peanut butter jelly, but I wonder if there's enough jelly, you know what I mean? Hey, can I tell you what? So what if there's enough? You know what? Listen, go to Rite Aid and buy some more jelly on the way home. But stop thinking about that. You know what I mean? Just it's a fake out. And the fake out is to get that word, you don't even hear the word. Because you're too busy thinking about the jelly. You know, well, you know what? Oh, I wonder if that's a Yamaha. You know what I mean? I mean, can you imagine if somebody was on a Yamaha motorcycle playing a Yamaha? That would be so weird, man. You know, like, I wonder if they could do that. Hello? Understand what's happening here. It's just a fake out. And you've got to make a decision before the word has started to say, and you know what? Somebody gets up, they're gonna go to the restroom, you know what I mean? And 48 people, you know. What are you doing? Amen. What are you looking at here? They're going to the restroom, amen. And then 30 seconds later, the same thing is like, what are they doing? They're coming back from the restroom. How many know that's not gonna heal your marriage? You know what I mean? Right? It's not gonna deliver you from your problems. Okay. And speaking of that, just because I brought that up and I said it the first service, but I want you to know, do me a favor. Listen, we understand because there's exceptions and there's accidents and there's things that happen. And if you need to get up, I totally understand. But if you could, can we honor the word of God by trying to make the distractions to a minimum? Does that make sense? Yeah. You ever been to church? Look at your neighbor, say, this isn't like that. That's not, I'm not here. But you go to some church and they're up and down and up and down, up and down. It's like, hello? You know what? This is important. So, I'm not, again, please, if you need to get up, it's totally okay. But let's honor the word of God today. Amen. How many need to be changed by the word of God? Okay? All right. So I'm going to read this story, and I'm going to read a good portion of this story, but let's stay focused. I have it up here on the screen so you can follow with word for word. I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have a New King James Bible, I encourage you to go to the book cart today and purchase one. If you can't afford one, we'll give one to you. And by the way, all books at the book cart except just a couple of select ones are 50% off. So make your way to the book cart and load your guns, because we have some great books over there. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting with the first verse. Follow with me on the screens. Now, Nahum, commander of the army. I always say commander of the army. Of the king of Syria was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him, watch this, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Nahum's wife. Then she said to her mistress, If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Nahum went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 10,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Nahum, my servant, to you, that you might be healed of this leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man sent a man to me to heal him from his leprosy? He's going to the wrong guy. Did you catch that? He's going to the king, not the prophet. The king's going, what's up, man? What are you doing? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. So it was when Elijah, that's the prophet, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Nahum went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, that your flesh might be restored, and you shall be clean. Then Nahum became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Wow, is that a phenomenal story? I want to teach you about this, and I want to go over several things that I believe will be helpful to you, because there's so many points that we can learn about in this story. The first thing, and it's to me just jumps out at me, is the reality of we all have problems. How many know Nahum has a problem? And Nahum has a problem, but how many know Nahum is just like you and I? And it doesn't make any difference, you know what, that Nahum is the chief over the whole army. He's still got problems. It doesn't make any difference how big you are. It doesn't make any difference how small you are. It doesn't make, how many know smart people have problems? How many people who are not so smart have problems? How many people who are educated, have their degrees, have problems? How many know people have good jobs, making lots of money, still have problems? See, everybody's got problems. Everyone's got problems. Do you have a problem today? You don't have to answer. I already know the answer. I already know the answer. It's my point, and it's an important point to make because, you know what, sometimes we walk around like everything's okay. I'm jumping ahead myself, but number two, we have a tendency to cover up our problems. And we walk around, and y'all look so nice, you know what? Y'all look so nice today. Your hair is nice, and you smell nice, and thank God you brushed your teeth this morning, and you know what? And you got, you know what, special stuff on your hair, and you ironed your clothes. Some of you picked out your clothes last night. That's okay. Amen. That's all right. But what I'm saying is, you can come in here, and the outside can look problem free. But there still can be stuff going on the inside. There still can be issues on the inside. And God wants to, and God wants to deal with those issues on the inside. God wants to heal you. Not only your outside, but your inside. Number three, understand this, that we all at times feel helpless. Have you felt helpless at times? Yes. Nahum has a problem. Nahum is a man of great honor. The Bible says he's an honorable man. People look at Nahum and they give him honor. The Bible calls him great. People are saying that he's great. Why? Here's why. Because he set his whole nation free. We don't know the details. We know that the Bible gives him credit for that. But one historian said that it was the arrow of Nahum. What's his name? Nahum. Thank you. It was his arrow that shot the king and set his nation free. Wow. This is not someone who has a honorable degree. This is somebody who has an earned degree. He was out there. He was a warrior. He was a fierce warrior. And so because of that, people recognize, you know what, how great he is. And they're looking up to him. And they see him, you know what, in that great place. And yet, and watch this, and yet he has leprosy. See, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Can somebody relate to this reality? Where there's things in your life, and your whole life isn't crumbling. There's things in your life, and things are going well, and things are going good. And yet, even in the midst of some things going good, there's some other things in your life, and you feel helpless. Nahum is that person. Nahum has leprosy. Nahum has leprosy in a time when there's no hospital to go to. There's no antibiotic to take. There's no cure. There's no cure. There's no even treatment for leprosy. The treatment for leprosy is that he would be exiled to get away from society, which adds another point to his leprosy. He is a man who feels helpless, and yet, watch this, and yet he's going to cover things up with his greatness and with his armor and with his place of position. But he knows. Leprosy is a hideous disease, and I'm not trying to be detailed and gross just for gross sake, for sensationalism, but I need to communicate leprosy. What it is it's a skin problem. It's a health problem where the skin is literally eating itself. And it is not only gross looking, but it is obviously debilitating. And it smells. I mean, this is a gross disease. And so if someone knows what's going on, we feel sometimes we need to cover that part up in our life. We need to cover that issue up, that problem that really nobody knows, because if somebody knows, then we'll be exposed. And so he covers it up. And there are some people who know, but only people very close, his wife and this slave girl, know. And so we mask our problems. And we hide our problems. And we sometimes pretend that we don't even have problems. That's what we do. Can somebody relate to Nahum? And even though our whole life isn't awful, there's parts in our life, and listen, and we feel helpless because we don't have a solution for that problem. Now, let me talk about another person in this story, the slave girl. Have you ever felt taken advantage of? I'm asking you. Have you ever felt taken advantage of? This slave girl has been taken advantage of. The Bible says that they go out on these raids and they picked her up. They picked her up like they'd pick up a dog or a horse for their servanthood. She came back. She at one point was free with her family and friends and in her nation with the language that she could speak and understand. But she is forced. They captured her. They probably tied her up. And she was captured to come back to a foreign land where she didn't know the language, then she didn't know the culture, where she was forced to be a slave. She is not only a slave. The Bible says in one version, it says that she was a little maid, giving an indication that even in her servanthood, she was on the bottom of the totem pole. Have you ever felt taken advantage of? Have you ever felt like you were in a place and you were, because of other people, put you in bondage where you couldn't be free? And in that place is a place where you can feel rage yourself, where you can feel like you are the victim. And very possibly you are the victim. And yet, this young lady has the power to set Nahum free. This young lady has the power, has the information that she needs to talk to Nahum that can release him and set him free from a death sentence. You know, here's the question. Are you so busy? Are you so busy? And you and I who felt victims in the same situation or situations like that, have we been so focused on our own problems, on the own injustices that we have experienced, that we cannot give the grace of God to someone, listen to me, to someone who we would say doesn't deserve it? And yet, you know what she does? She walks in love and tenderness and mercy. Why? Because she tells the one who has held her captive the way that he would get free. Amen. And let me say this, because you need to understand this. You need to hear this. You are no more deserving of the blessing that you seek. How many would seek a blessing today? How many would say, I want to be blessed today? Listen to me. You are no more deserving of the blessing you seek than the blessing
that you withhold from the person that you hate. You're no more deserving. And the Bible says it like this, that the same with the same measure that you measure it out, it will be measured back to you. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. The Bible says, it is not your place to give judgment on somebody else, even someone else who has done you wrong. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've already walked in forgiveness. I've forgiven that person over and over and over and over. Let me help. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Did you catch that? And Peter would say, God, in his self-righteousness. See, can I tell you what? God would tell Peter, vengeance is not yours. It is not your place to judge. It is not your place to criticize. It is not your place to withhold forgiveness. It is not your place. And you sit there in a self-righteousness and say, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? Aren't I righteous? And God says, no, Peter, you don't understand. You should tell, you know what? You start getting your put your calculator away. Because you need, stop putting your fingers. I'm going to give you so many times to forgive that you don't have enough fingers or toes to count. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says love doesn't keep record of wrongs. And you sit there and think that you are vindicated. You think it's okay. The first service, I was talking to a lot of couples. I believe this particularly has significance if you are married. Because I guarantee you, if you've been married for longer than 4 months, your spouse has already given you 7 reasons to walk in forgiveness. Can somebody say amen to this? And God says to you the same thing that he says to Peter. It's no. 7 times 70. He's saying, what is he saying? Peter, does he say a day? He says, put the calculator away, man. It's not your position. You expose yourself of self-righteousness in your counting. I love what Jimmy Evans has ministered. And he does a lot of couples teachings. Matter of fact, Tamara and I talked about this, and we're going to start to email you just good helps that will help you. But Jimmy and Karen Evans, you know what? Look it up, and I advise you, you know what? To just, his teachings are just 28 minutes long. They're real short, but they're so powerful. You need help in your marriage? No, I don't need help in your marriage. That's proof you need help in your marriage. Amen. Who need help? Oh, my goodness. You need help. Okay, you really need help. We all need help in our marriage. And God has given us gifts in the body of Christ to help us. And Jimmy and Karen Evans have been a huge help to so many couples. And I encourage you to look him up on the internet and start listening to his teachings. Fabulous teacher. Fabulous teacher. My point is, it's not your point to get the calculator out. And this woman, watch this. This woman, this young lady, seemingly, everybody say seemingly. Okay. Put your hands up like this and go, seemingly. Okay. So, Pastor, why do you have me? Oh, you always have us do that. Because I want to get the point over. One more time, say seemingly. Seemingly. See, it's not real. It seems like she would be justified. But can I tell you what? When God says you're not justified to judge somebody else, you're not justified to judge them. Yeah, but look at what he's done. That's wrong. That is wrong. But let God judge that. Can I bring up a great point? Can I tell you what? Jimmy Evans says this, that in the relationship with couples, you redeem your spouse over and over and over again. Have you ever done something wrong and you were completely, totally, you know that you were wrong? And yet your spouse, you know what, acted like you didn't do anything wrong? Man. You know what that is? It's redemptive. Let's see. Who does that sound like? Have we done stuff wrong? And Christ and God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, acts like we didn't do anything wrong? That's redemptive. And this lady has an opportunity to bring redemption, to bring healing to the one who has enslaved her. Man, is that ironic? And instead of judging him and criticizing him and not allowing him to have the information that he needs that was going to cause him to be free, she gives it to him freely. Freely you have received, freely give. She's a phenomenal. This lady preaches to us today about the forgiveness power of Jesus Christ, about a willingness to forgive someone that hasn't even asked for forgiveness. Are you hearing me? This lady can look at her life and say, no, I don't have the power to do anything. I'm just a slave woman. She is, let me tell you about her. She is the low of the lows. She is a slave, but not only is she a slave, she's a slave in a foreign land. She doesn't know the language. And even if she has learned the language, you know what? Her accent exposes her as being a foreigner. And she is captivated. She is captive as a slave. And the Bible says, one version says, she was a little maid, indicating that of the maids, she was one of the lowest of those maids. And if that isn't enough, you know what she is? She's a woman, which in that culture is the low of the low. And that's who she is. And yet, can I tell you what? It's ironic to me because she has the answer. You know, sometimes we walk around thinking that understanding of all our brokenness, understanding, thinking that we are the low of the low. And may I submit this to you? You are not the low of the low. You are a king. You are a queen. You are told in the Bible that you will rule and reign with Christ. You will be given garments of white that Jesus is going to put on you, according to Revelations. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Jesus is one point, I'm just saying, Jesus at one point, Revelation says, he's going to say, hey, come on over here. Like, where are we going? I want you to sit on my throne. Whoa. See, you think you're the low of the low because you know about you. You know about all your sickness. You know about all your problems. You know about all your junk. You know about it all. But can I tell you what? Because of the blood of Jesus, he's covered all that. He doesn't remember that. He just looks at you and goes, oh my goodness, I only made one Tony. There is no one on the whole earth who is like Tony. He is a one of a kind. He is an original. I made nobody. And when I designed Tony, when I made Tony, I had all of this in mind. I made him just. He is one of a kind. And you know the truth is? You say, yeah, but I'm not Tony. I know you're not Tony. Because if you were like Tony, you know what? There'd be two Tonys. Amen? And Tony is, there's only one Tony. There's only one you. And just like all the creation, when he got done with you, he looked at you and said, oh, my goodness, this. He looked at Peter and said, oh, my. He got done designing Peter, and he said, oh, man, this is good. Amen? Amen? And he said the same thing when he made you. He said, oh, let me tell you, I've outdone myself today. Oh my goodness, this, you know what, I thought it couldn't get any better, but look at what I've designed today. Oh my goodness. Yeah, come on. And he said that to every single one of us, because we are all one of a kind. And in the opportunity we have to look at our past and look at our iniquities and look at the frailties of who we are, God says, I've forgotten your iniquities. He sees you for the creation that he's made you and designed you for. And he's designed you to do great things. He's designed you to do the same thing that this one young lady did. He's designed you to be the one who is going to cause freedom from these people that are hurting. Can you see this? So she says, I got the answer. You know what? Go see the prophet. You know what? And you know what? My country. He goes to see the prophet in his country. And he goes with an expectation of that he is going to receive his healing. That's why he's going. You know what that takes? It takes humility. How many know it's going to take humility for you? Tamara pointed this out in the first service, but it's a great point. Are you willing to listen to other people to set you free? And I made this in the first service, but I need to make this in the second service, because you know what? God uses people all the time. How many know God will use people all the time? And specifically, and now I'm getting specific, that many times God is put a pastor in your life to be a blessing to you. That, watch this, through his counsel and his advice, his insight, you would have the key to be delivered. I'm just asking, how many ever come here and exactly the word, I'm just asking, how many ever come here and you think, oh my goodness, pastor has read my mail? Yeah. Raise your hand if that's you. You're thinking, oh my goodness, pastor knows. It's like, has my husband been talking to the pastor? Because he knows exactly, it's the very thing. Raise your hand if that's you. Look at this all over. No, listen. I don't get on the internet and figure out, you know what, your Facebook posts and your Facebook page, and you know what, I don't come over to your house and sneak over and look inside your, no, that's not happening. That's not happening. Matter of fact, you know what, some people, they've said this to other pastors, and they've said this to me. They say, pastor, you know what, when you were talking today, I know you were looking, pastor, looking right at me when you were saying that. And I'm thinking, God is my witness, I'm thinking, dude, I wasn't even looking at you at all. But we can feel that way sometimes. And here's my point. My point is to understand, you know what, that God will send people to us that will have the answers that will set us free. Now listen, can I go a little deeper here? We live in a society, a Christian society, who we're so independent that we have believed. You say, pastor, how do you know this? Because I talk to people all the time. I see people all the time. I see people, you know what, kind of,
you know what? They do look like that. They just kind of float in here. You know what I mean? Float in here. You know what I mean? And I'm like, hey, glad you're here. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, you're looking for a new church. You know what I mean? Or you're looking for a church. And you know what I mean? They're like, no, I'm just like a floater in here. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? You know what? They float in and they're like, no, no, it's all good. It's all good, bro. You know what? It's all good. I just, you know what? You're teaching the gospel. You're preaching the gospel. That's awesome. But I'm just a floater. I float in to this church. And then I float into that church. And then I come here for that. And I come there for that. And nobody knows. And Pastor, you're never going to know when I'm coming back. Because I'm a floater. Oh, I got a name for you, but it's not a floater. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because let me tell you what, as God is my witness, and this needs to be preached, because this mentality permeates the body of Christ. No, no, no. We think as long as we're connected this way. But no, God has connected us this way and connected us this way. And I know I'm an imperfect pastor. I know that. But I know that Bible says that Jesus is the one that calls pastors. And let me tell you what, he calls pastors to congregations. He calls pastors to people. His calling is to protect you, to give you counsel and advice and wisdom and preach the word of God, that you would come into this place on a regular basis and have this constant flow of anointing, constant flow of the word, constant flow of even correction. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Constant word of something that will keep you. The Bible says that you would be grounded and rooted, that you might flourish. Let me tell you something that I see in these floaters. They never produce anything. There's not anything of substance in their life that they're ever producing. Why? Because they can't produce anything. I can't take a plant. My wife is so funny because she will get in a room and she'll tell me this, and I've learned this, you know what, from her wisdom. Somebody say amen to this. But I will tell you, and men, I'm telling you, put your rulers away. I get the ruler out and I'm like, no, honey, you know what, I'm going to measure this. I don't think this is going to look good here. She says, put your measure away. We have to see it. Do you not tell me that? We have to see it. And I've been with her long enough to, this is a true story, this God is my witness, she is absolutely right. I have rearranged furniture this way and that way and this way and this way for her to say, let's try it. There's one way we haven't found yet. As God, I'm testifying, I'm telling you the truth. And as I do that, guess which way works? That way, that very last way. And you know what? She's right. And then when she'll do it, I'll look back and I'll think, oh my goodness, I never saw it this way. I never would have thought this would work this way. You have to see it. And that works with furniture. Amen? See, you thought I was just telling a story to tell a story. No, I got a point to these stories. But can I tell you, it doesn't work with plants. Why? Here's why. I'm going to kill that plant. And so we'll come home and she'll have a plant and she'll say, I think I want it right there. And so I will dig the hole and I'll put the plant there. And 2 days later, she'll say, no, I don't want it there. I think it would be better over here. And what I say to her is, think about it. Look at it. Are you sure? Because I can put it here to here, but if I put it from here to here to back here, I'm going to be over back Home Depot saying, I don't know what happened, man. And now we keep it in the
we keep it in the container. What's my point? You're a plant. The Bible says that you need to be grounded and rooted that you might flourish. See, God uses vessels that are far from perfect. If God was only using a perfect vessel, Jesus would be the only one who could minister. And there's people, and they're like, no, dude, it's just me and God. It's me and God. God speaks directly to me, bro. Amen. I get that. But if you think that God can't use other people to speak into your life, then let me tell you what, you are walking in pride, and the Bible says pride comes before the fall. And you will be like that plant, and you will go from here to there to here to there, you know what, with the critical spirit usually, because usually I need to leave there because, you know what, whatever. How many know as many people as we have in this church? We got a lot of problems. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And if you think this is a perfect church, you know what? When you first came in, you ruined it. Is that not right? You did. You messed it up. But can I tell you what? Here's the truth. It was messed up before you ever got here. Because I was here. Amen. We all have problems. You're welcome. But we really need to value, you know what, the leadership that God has. We need to understand, you know what, God ordained this young lady to minister to him. This wasn't coincidental. God has ordained to put leaders over you, to bless you. We're not a curse. We're a blessing to you. And so this young lady is gracious enough, though, to, even though this man has done her wrong, he's going to be gracious to her. And he leaves. And he leaves, and he's humble. Why is he humble? Because he's going to listen to this young lady. But then he goes to the prophet's house, and the prophet is too busy, you know what, frying up a chimichanga in the back. Come on, somebody. You ever had somebody come to your door? You're like, hey, Tyler, get the door. I'm busy. Right? Hey, Shayla, get the door. I'm busy. Hey, Megan, get the door. I'm doing something. Hello. And the prophet doesn't even come to the door. Can I tell you what? Here's my last point, but it's a great point. Please listen to me. Do you have the willingness to put humility upon humility? You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Because here's what we do. So, and my sermon title is this. This will help you. You know what? Whatever it takes. Everybody say, whatever it takes. See, because here's what we have a tendency to do in our life. We have a tendency to have these preconceived notions of how God is going to work. And yes, we will be humble. Yes, we will tolerate some humility to go so far. But at that point, we're like, no, I know what to expect. It's gonna, God, let me tell you what, I'm already humble enough to come in front of the prophet, and let me tell you, watch this, all eyes appear. Let me tell you what I am not going to tolerate. I am not going to tolerate that pastor not coming to the door and doing some, you know what, some. Because what I expect is him to come to the door. Listen, don't you understand who I am? I'm in charge of the whole army. See, can you put humble upon humble? Because if you put humble upon humble, you're going to walk in the healing power of God. You're going to walk in the supernatural. The problems you have, you know what, are right in front of you. But here's the question. Do you keep your problems because of your lack of humility. And I would ask you to ask yourself that. Have I retained my problem? That's exactly what he did. He walked in humility. He's in front of the prophet's door. He knocks on the door. The prophet sends the servant to answer the door. Not only to answer the door, the prophet doesn't even say. The prophet didn't say, hey, I'll be with him in a minute. The prophet doesn't say that. The prophet says, tell him what to do. I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm not coming to the door. Will you walk humble upon, will you put humility upon humility? And he won't do it. Watch this. He won't do it. So what is he going to do? Here's what he's going to do. He's going to walk away with his leprosy, with his death sentence, with his problem. See, I would submit to you that maybe you are retaining your problem, not because God won't deliver, because the Bible says in Psalms that God will deliver us from all our problems. Maybe the issue isn't that God wants you to have your problem. Maybe the issue is you don't have a willingness to put humility upon humility. Yes, yes, yes. I will go to church. But Pastor, whoa. You know what? Don't expect me to be enthusiastic in the songs that you're singing. Isaac, back off. Just be happy that I'm here. Right? Yeah. I understand, you know what, that I'm going to walk in humility, but my humility is only going to be to a certain point, and then up to that point, I'm going to say how it's going to roll. Can I submit this to you? That you are not going to submit how it's going to roll. That God is God. And if he asks you to put humility upon humility, upon humility to set you free, then what you need to do is put humility upon humility upon humility. And what I'm submitting to you is this guy who's going, no, let me tell you how it's going to be, is walking, listen to me somebody, is walking away from the healing power of God that is right in front of him. And it takes another person ministering to him. Can God speak through people? Yeah. It takes another person ministering to him, running up to him and saying, he calls him Father. Father. He's giving him respect again. You are awesome. What are you doing? The Bible says that Nahum walked away furious. Can I submit to you, you know what? When God tells you what to do, even through a person, be careful when you walk away furious. Watch your attitude. When you come to church, watch your attitude. Because let me tell you what, God has this certain way of doing things different than you intend them to be done. And you have designs. You think he should do it this way. You think he should do it that way. You criticize because some of you would criticize because he didn't come to the door. Some of you would criticize if he came to the door and said, in the name of Jesus. Hello? Some of you would say, what is that theatrics? What is that? That's all that Pentecostal. What is that craziness? Hello? And it's all up to you how it gets done, how it's going to do it. You know what? Should he do it like this? There's all this judgment about how the man of God should work, how he should perform. He should do it like this. And watch this. And if he doesn't do it the way I want him to do it, oh my goodness, this is a good sermon. If he doesn't do it the way I think he does it, then watch this. Then it's crazy. Then you know what, I'm just going to walk away. And I would submit to you, yeah, you're going to walk away, but you're going to walk away from the blessings of God. That's what you're going to walk away from. See, will you put humility upon humility? Will you be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt? Give the man of God the benefit of the doubt. You have no idea what he was doing. For all you know, he could have been praying in the back room with 10 other lepers, for all you know. And you're going to criticize because he didn't come out waving his hands. And you'll watch somebody on TV and you'll criticize because of how they took up the offering or how they wear their hair. I just don't think, you know, I hear this. I don't know why he wears his hair all like that. That's so weird, man. Amen? Have you ever looked in the mirror and seen how your hair looks? Amen? Hello? Hello, somebody? All I'm saying is, guys, you're walking away from the blessings of God because you have a critical spirit. It's a judgmental spirit. It's a spirit of pride. And I would say, no. Here's the recipe for you getting rid of your problems. You know why he walked away whole, clean, skin absolutely clean? You know why? Because ultimately he was willing to not to make a change in his judgment of other people. That's why he walked in that victory. Because he was willing to submit to not only that servant over here, but that servant over here who said, "What are you doing?" He could have said, "What are you talking about? What am I doing? What is he doing? He didn't even come to the door." But he didn't do that. He let God speak through this man. And he came back. Actually, he didn't come back. He did what the man of God told him to do. That'll be another sermon.
Wow. I want to point out this text is actually, will you pull up the text? I'm gonna start right. Let me find my spot. Wow, did it just shut? Incredible. Okay, I'm gonna pull up right at the beginning. Okay, here we go. 2 Kings. Right where she said to her mistress, "If only my master." Can you find that? Is it 5:3? 5:3. Let's start there. Okay, this text, we're going to walk through it, and we're going to watch how it just explodes to us what we get when we walk in pride and what we get when we walk in humility. I want you to pay attention to what's going on with the pride in this text and pay attention to what's going on with all kinds of humility in this text, okay? So then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Go ahead and go. First of all, let's talk about that for a second. That's the slave girl who's saying that. The girl who had been taken captive and brought into slavery. But check out her heart. Her heart, she's caring about the person who she's serving that she's been enslaved to. That's interesting. And then Naaman went to his master saying, "Thus and thus, this is what the girl from the land of Israel said." So he goes and wants to know, "What do you think about all this?" Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king." So he goes to the king to say, "Okay, this is what I'm just going to embellish, okay? So what kind of the lowlife told me, the slave told me this. What do you think?" "Yeah, do it. Go ahead." So now a higher up tells him, "Yeah, do it." So he's ready to head out. And then, you know what? Same thing. Position, prominent power says, "And I'm going to pave the way for you. I'm going to send a letter with you to that king. Go ahead. So then the king of Syria said, go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed, and he took with him, look what he's going to take. He's taking money and shekels of gold. And do you see what I'm saying? Do you see this whole camp over here and how it's functioning? They got the goods. They got the power. They got the name. They got the prominence. You know what? Here they come. So change and 10 changes of clothing. Woo. Okay, go ahead. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Now we're going to another higher up dude, right? Got another king involved here. And which said, now be advised that this letter comes to you, and I've sent Naaman, my servant, to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. Okay, so then the king freaks out. Okay, he can't heal nothing. He freaks out on the letter. He tears his clothes. He says, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends to me a man for me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. He wants, I've come here for something. Go ahead. So it was when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, then he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Don't freak out on this. Send them to me. You know what? Send him to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet. That king was not used to functioning outside of his own ability. Do you see that there? That's why he's freaking out. I mean, he knew Elijah. He knew. Why didn't he just? Because when you're walking in pride, you can't even see the answer right in front of you. You can't even see. You'll miss it. Why are you going to miss it again? Because of pride. Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot. Here we go again. We got all the jargon, right? He's going to go with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him and said, go wash in the Jordan. You can be restored, and you'll be clean. But Naaman, now watch again, just dripping with pride. Look at this. You know, he becomes furious, and he went away and he said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. See all the pride? And stand and call on the name of the Lord God and wave his hand. See all the theatrics? He wants all this prominence. You know what? This is all about him and all about who he is. And he's worthy of all of this because he's Mr. Big Shot. No, he's not. Nobody's a big shot. We're all big shots. And then wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Go ahead and go. Are not... I'm going to let Pastor go those two. These two rivers better than the waters of Israel, first of all, and then you're sending me to some funky river? Someone of my prominence, you're going to send me to the funky rivers? You're not even going to pick a good river with this ridiculousness that you got going on? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Now, you'll see here, it's taking humility upon humility, upon humility. Listen, you're going to jack yourself all up when you walk in pride. You're going to miss all kinds of healing in your life. You know what? When you walk in pride. When you just won't humble out. So he turned and he went away in a rage. Okay, go ahead. And his servants. Now listen to this. Here we go again. Here we have more players in this story. The servants. Who are the ones who can see the obvious all the time? The servant, you think a servant's humble? You think a servant has any problem with pride? I mean, they're the slaves and the servants, they just walk in humility. It's a way of life for them, isn't it? They don't really, well, they do have a choice, but nonetheless, like the girl, she didn't have to be caring about her master. She could care less. Why should she care? You're abusing me anyway. You know what I mean? You've gone and ripped me out of everything that matters to me. But look at the condition of her heart. Her heart is a heart of humility through this whole thing. And you see in the other ones a heart of pride through the whole thing. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you, and see, it's not just one. See, these are the servants. Now his servants are kind of freaking out. It's like we've gone all this way. It's not just the girl. It's the servants. They're all like going, can't you, hello, this makes no sense. Would you not have done it? How much more then, he says to you, wash and be clean. I think that's the end of what I want. So he went down, he dipped seven times, according to what he was told. He humbled, here, it could just end like this. He finally humbled out and received his healing. He finally humbled out and received his healing. You know what, we got to be so careful because we don't recognize sometimes the pride that we walk in just our independence. That one of the things that has been given to us as believers is the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper. We need help. already, just know you need help. And if you're not looking for your helper, you're just walking. I mean, you're right out the gate. You know what I mean? You're just like that king. It's right there. You can't even see it. You know why you can't see it? You're just dependent on yourself. You're not even looking for your helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He leads us. He teaches us. He corrects us. See, all of those functions are functions, you know what, that we're beneath that. Do you understand that? We've got to submit to that. And if we don't submit to it, then we don't end up, you know what, with that help. And we can see it so clearly in the text, you know what, with Naaman. Oh, my goodness. I mean, don't you just read it and go, dude, God, why don't you just go? I mean, it's so obvious. It is so obvious when we're reading it on the pages. But it's not so obvious when you're running your mouth and when you're walking it all out yourself. But it's nonetheless true. And for sure we need help or we wouldn't have been given a helper. But how many times do we turn to our helper? How often do you do that in a day? How much of a part of your life is that? Jesus was interesting because when I was saying earlier, look at Jesus is such a beautiful example of this very truth. See, if we'll look at the scriptures and see the way that God interacted with people, it is so different. Jesus values people. Let me just tell you something right now. This is probably one of the truest statements I could ever say. If you're walking in pride, I promise you, you are devaluing people in some way around you. Pride will cause you to not value human beings. Let's look in the text and see some things that were going on in when Jesus was walking around. He saw this, he knew this, and he dealt with this. So women, you know what? Women in Jesus' time, they were less than. They were not valuable. They're just kind of worthless. But is that how we see Jesus acting? Not at all. He doesn't act that way. He doesn't see women as useless. Matter of fact, he took a lot of heat dealing with women, didn't he? Why? Because he's completely humble. He's a picture of humility. He didn't walk in pride. He couldn't not value women because he doesn't have that pride to do it. Samaritans were like, blech. They were like the dogs around. You know what I mean? Yuck. Samaritans were just not valuable at all. Why were Samaritans not valuable? Because you got all kinds of other tins that think that they're better than that, right? But are they better than that? No. And so what do we see Jesus doing with the Samaritans? He goes way out of his way to go minister to the Samaritans. And isn't it interesting, when you look at these non-valuable people, look at what comes from Jesus valuing them, they end up being incredibly effective in the kingdom. this girl and these servants, very, very effective in the kingdom. Why? Because they walk in humility. If we walk in humility, we're going to be incredibly valued to God. Very, very big value to God. But when we're walking in pride, the Bible says that God resists the proud. We miss it ourselves. We are not a blessing that we're supposed to be with people around us. We don't end up being effective in the kingdom. Children in the Word of God, we see that. Remember they tell the children, get away from him. It's like, you guys aren't valuable enough, and this guy's like all Mr. Big here, so stay away from him. And we're doing some important stuff, but Jesus said, whoa, hey, don't stop them from coming to me. So children were not valuable. Sick and the lame. How many times were the sick and the lame told? How many times do we see in the Word of God where they're telling them, shut up, be quiet, leave them alone. You are not worthy of his time. But is that how Jesus felt about it? Nope, not at all. Prostitutes, tax collectors, all the same. You know what? Remember, I mean, Jesus, when they're coming against the woman who was washing his feet, he said, leave her alone. And let me tell you something about her. You know what I mean? She's going to be talked about forever. See, he cannot stand the devaluing of people. And in the beginning, when you were talking about, you know what, how valuable we are, let me tell you something, how unique we are. Science will always back up the Word of God. God, you are incredible. You know what makes something really, really expensive? Is when it's rare. Right? Supply and demand, don't we all know it? Supply and demand, that's why. We know about that, right? We know about these paintings that are so ridiculously expensive because they're so rare. The more rare and unique something is, the more expensive it is in our society. Is this true? Do you think it's a coincidence that nobody, we was talking about Tony earlier, nobody has Tony's fingerprint. There's only one. Every one of us has a unique fingerprint. Every one of us has unique DNA. There's a lot of people in the world, guys. That's just a mind blower right there. And yet, that's not coming from your Bible. That's coming from scientists. That's coming from science catching up with your Bible. Where God already told you, you know what I mean, that you were marvelously created in your mother's womb. That God told you how valuable you are. That you're so valuable that he knows every hair on your head. That his thoughts about you are more, not the same, more than the grains of the sand. God has said so much to us, letting us know how incredibly valuable we are to him. But people, have you ever felt not very valuable because of somebody? See, people around us who have pride cause us to feel less than. The youth aren't really important because they're young. What do they know? Well, let me tell you something. They know a lot. They know a lot. Some of our greatest ideas that have been implemented around here have come from our youth and our interns. People will, when I say people, it's not really people walking in pride. Pride will put down all the time. But humility will always lift up. Always lift up. And so that's a good measuring stick for us. How often are we lifting people up? How often are we going to our helper? How much humility are we walking in? The Bible says that Jesus was the most humble. His name is the greatest because there's no one more humble than him. So figure it out. If God's going to be able to do something with you, that you would bring glory to his kingdom, how's that going to come? The more humble you are, the higher you rise. Isn't that what he told us over and over and over and over? Yeah. So we just need to implement it. Amen? It's good. That's why we come. Amen? We come so that we can get these truths that we already know, get them deeper in our spirit. You know what? Let the Holy Spirit do what he does. He's probably shown you a couple areas already that he wants you to just start. Okay, begin to walk in more humility. Be more on guard, you know what, with pride in your life, that we just get pride out of our life because it is so not of God. Amen?